for this?
Oh, I'm ready. I know you're ready. Hey, everybody. This is Todd. It's Tuesday, 19 October. Thanks for joining us. This is the Geek News Central podcast. We've got a great show for you. We're via proxy today. We're in Texas. I am missing Hawaii desperately, but we got a great show for you, so strap in. Here it comes. Welcome to show four, everybody. This actually should be show five. You're not going to believe what happened. I was sitting here for the last 30 minutes putting together the show. I flipped back from Firefox, and wouldn't you know it, the application had been hung, and so I've been talking to the screen for the last 30 minutes for nothing. So I wanted to scream because I was all done. But anyway, we're going to start this over. You don't know I'm starting over, but I'm starting over. I guess that's what about this home recording is all about. But anyway, hey, get kicked off here again. I want to make you aware of some announcements. We now have a way for you to call into the show. And this may be on and off again until I get back to Hawaii. Right now I'm in Central Texas. I've been down here for a little while doing some work. And the weather has been absolutely beautiful, but not as good as Honolulu. Obviously, but when I get home, I'll get one of the systems set up there so you can dial in at 24/7. But now it's only going to be when I'm in the hotel and have the broadband connection on. But anyway, it's the telephone number for Skype for the Geek News Central website is actually Geek News Central. Oh, real tough, right? So I've got that set up so that it will. It will answer after about 15 seconds of ringing, and it will record your voicemail message. So feel free to call into the show. Those of you that are picking the show up with iPodder, make sure that you, or another aggregator that will accept enclosures, I need to have you guys change your reference file to us. Instead of using the Geek News Central /index.xml, I need to have you switch that to geeknewscentral.com/podcast.xml. I've been getting complaints from some users that are on dial-up that have a aggregator that will do enclosures. Apparently some people have been getting the podcast when they didn't want to. So we're going to make a podcast-specific enclosure file on the website. So it's podcast.xml versus the index.xml. So make sure you change that out, because after tonight's show, you will not be able to get to the show via the old link. And I put some info up on the website for you so that you can remind you to switch that over. Something I want to try and include some of our listeners is I know a lot of you have written in and said that you want to do a show, but you're concerned about your bandwidth bill. So if you want to do a show on your own and talk about technology and geek type stuff, I want you to put that together and keep the clips 5 to 7 minutes if you can. Do your own music, do whatever you want to do. Throw it together and send it to us. And what we'll do is I'll review those that are sent to us, and if I feel they're, I'm going to just include it. We'll throw them in initially, and we'll see how it goes. That way my 20 to 30 minutes of content could turn into 45 minutes, and we'll get a mix of people. I've got the bandwidth to be able to support that. So make sure you you take us up on this if you want to. And, of course, we're going to give you full credit, put your plugs in there, the whole nine yards. Also, if you are not picking, depending on how you're picking your podcast up right now, go out to audio.weblogs.com, and you will see the last 100 pings to podcasts that are out there. Now, that's not an all-inclusive list because not every web logging system can ping their new server. But give it a try and let us know what you think of the list. And listen to a lot of the podcasts out there. It's amazing how many people are doing great shows. I am a geek. I have always been able to do, take care and get rid of stuff that have crept onto my computer. But I have, I believe, a piece of spyware that has snuck its way onto my system that I am just befuddled. I cannot get rid of it. It's called CrackSpider. I've done some searching, looked at some write-ups that I found and done everything I've been told to do via the website instructions, yet I cannot get rid of this thing. So I use Webroot Spy Sweeper, and it's the first, I think it's a Trojan or a hijacker. I think it's more of a hijacker, but it's the first one that program has never been able to remove. So, if you know somebody at Webroot, and we've sent them some mail, they have not responded, and I have actually used two or three other programs, and they're not picking up on it, so I don't know if it's a false positive or not. Also, I'm a big news crawler, aggregator fan. It's www.newscrawler.com. I really like that aggregator. I guess it's one of the first couple I used, and I don't know, it's kind of like old habits die hard, but that aggregator does not support enclosures. So if you're a news crawler fan, get over to their forum site. You're going to see where I have put in an entry. Throw your 2 cents worth in, say, hey, come on, help us get enclosures. Even if you're not a news crawler fan, help me out. Go over to the news crawler site and get into their forums. Make a comment and say, hey, how come you're not supporting enclosures? You're behind on the times. But I guess that's all I have for announcements. I forgot to get the list of people that pinged the site together tonight. I apologize. I will recognize you during the next show. I had them all loaded up earlier in when I got done talking about them on the previous show that I recorded. I had closed the browser window and I just didn't have time to get them back up, but that brings me into our content that I want to talk about tonight. And there, you know, here I am having a problem with a piece of spyware on my computer. And I know all of you are seeing stuff pop up from time to time. You're seeing cookies that are being invasive. You're seeing Trojans. You're seeing hijackers. A lot of people's systems are becoming degraded because of these things. And it's alarming what can be done to your computer when someone gets in. And obviously I'm concerned about this bug or whatever it is that's in mine and have not been able to eliminate it. Now, I will say this. I have to use an Internet Explorer for an application for work. And this CrackSpider seems to be only affecting Internet Explorer. So for now, I've just quit using it. And then whenever I get availability to another machine, I use Internet Explorer to do a work application. It's something that Firefox does not support. Yet hopefully we'll be able to put a plug in to that web browser soon so I can divorce myself the additional 0.5% that I'm using Internet Explorer. But anyway, they're saying that 90% of computers out there today have spyware on them. I know all of you are running some sort of spyware catcher. If you're not, shame on you. You need to get one loaded up because you may be surprised what you're finding on your computer. But there was a poll taken of like 700 internet users, and apparently only like 24% of them even knew, had any knowledge about spyware. So that's just absolutely scary. Can't believe it. I wrote an article on the website yesterday, talking about a flat screen monitor that was emitting a signal on 121.5 megahertz. And for those of you that didn't read the article, 121.5 megahertz and 243 megahertz are the international distress frequencies. Now, what normally happens is there is a 10 hertz or 1,000 hertz tone that is put onto that base frequency, so you have kind of a warbling sound. Well, what that does is that frequency triggers what's known as SARSAT. There's several, a number of these SAR satellites circling the globe. And in turn, the SAR satellites activate a ground system which ties it to, gets the local authorities involved. But apparently some guy had this monitor activate the SARSAT. And these guys came knocking on his door and figured he had a boat in his garage or something, but it wasn't. It was this monitor. And I know that most of these SAR transmitters are normally like 3 watts to maybe 20. They don't have to be a lot of power because they're usually used outside. They are line of sight, line of sight UHF, so it doesn't take a lot of signal to get out of the atmosphere and touch a satellite. So, but for a monitor to activate this thing, oh my God, I can't imagine. This guy was getting irradiated with this signal. He needs to talk to Toshiba, and Toshiba needs to talk to the FCC. This is ridiculous. Home appliances should not do that. They're supposed to be shielded well enough to not have this type of a frequency dissipate out of it. It just it's amazing. I'd like to set this thing in front of a spectrum analyzer with a wand and see how much power is actually coming out of it. If you can hear me clicking, it's because I've got Firefox opened up, and I'm actually switching between it and my audio recording program because I'm making sure that we're not locking up again. But there's a new podcasting syndication program out there called Doppler. It's in beta, and I'll put the link up on the website for you. It's a Windows-based program. Everything I've heard about it so far, everybody's saying it's terrific. And I'm personally using iPodder, but I'm going to give this Doppler a try, and I'll do a write-up on it on the website tomorrow on what my experience is with it. Now, that kind of brings me into a subject that I talked about a few days ago. We need to get the word out. Podcasting, no iPod required. I have an iPod, but heck, I've been listening to 90% of the shows right on my PC. So, all of you that have a weblog, get out there and put a comment out on it so that we can get it high enough in the rankings, get enough distribution, and get Google to understand that no iPod is required. So use the title podcasting-no iPod required. That way, if we all use the same title for the entry, we can get some high ratings on that and get it Googled. And when people type in podcasting or no iPod, maybe they'll get that in the top 10 search. And we can, even though we love this term podcasting, there's a few that don't. I know Chris doesn't particularly care for it. But we can get those that are not technical savvy up to speed, knowing that there is no iPod required for listening to podcasts. So help me out there. Let's spread the word. And I think it's, you know, the webloggers all know, but maybe the end users, the guys that are not doing weblogs, I don't think they really are. They know yet, because I've got some content about that. I read an interesting article that came out today on Jupiter Research. It talks about, are you afraid to blog? And it's basically the relationship people have to have with their employers, being careful not to talk about their work or talk about proprietary stuff. I know a lot of us would love to talk about our work. Myself, I can't. I am restricted from talking about my job, and I just don't. I am basically under an NDA that says I won't, and I don't. And I don't have a problem with that. And those of you that know me personally understand exactly why that is. But I can understand the. It amazes me what Robert Scoble can say. The man's amazing. He doesn't have a problem with the. Taking the fight to Microsoft and bashing them, even though he works for them, and talking about competitors, I think it's great. And when I change jobs in a few years, I'm hoping I have an employer that is as cool as that and allows me to express myself. I think it gets real tricky, though, when you have stockholders. Privately held companies, I don't think it's as maybe as big an issue, but when you start having research being done about your company and stock prices set based upon what people say, You know, you have to be really careful, and I know some of you are struggling with that. You know, Robert Scoble has really broken a lot of ground for a lot of people, and said things that a lot of people are probably afraid to say. But you guys need to read this this article. It's terrific. And again, we're going to put that put those links all up on the primary website. If I've said that about 10 times, I apologize. But hey, you know, what can I say? I'm not a professional. I'm a geek. So hey, I was reading in a Google article today, and let me see if I can find it. There was a company or an individual with a few people that came up with a basically a remote control that he put on his small enough to go on a keychain. And what he's using it for, he's kind of being mischievous and going around and clicking this thing, and it cycles through like 250 of the most known TV sets and turns the TVs off. Well, imagine sitting in a sports bar and slipping this thing out of your keyring a little bit and pushing the button and having all the TVs going off the sports bar. Now, especially, let's say it was right about the time that a football team was getting ready to make a score. Imagine that happening in your favorite sports bar on the Super Bowl, you know, 5 seconds left and all the TVs go out. You know, that person would get hurt if she got caught. I know that some of you guys are sports fanatics, and that is, you know, that would be an unforgivable sin. But, you know, it sounds like kind of a lot of fun if, you know, there's times that I am absolutely annoyed by, one, I'm annoyed by a television being on someplace where it probably shouldn't be, or people talking on those damn speakerphone telephones. I just want to rip those things out of people's hands and smash them on the ground. They need to have a little privacy and go outside and talk to themselves, you know, like I'm talking to you guys in this podcast, you know. It's just absolutely rude. But anyway, this company is getting ready. It looks like they're going to look at some other things, maybe like a cell phone jammer, that kind of stuff. But their site got blown out by the Google article, so they are offline right now. So hopefully at midnight they get their bandwidth refreshed and they'll be up. And I'm going to order one of these babies, if nothing else, just to have fun with it when I'm at a relative's house. Because my relatives love to watch TV during the holidays, and you know what? Maybe I'll shut the TVs off on them several times, and maybe they'll get the hint and we'll just talk instead of watching TV. There was an article on, and I'm going to probably have destroy this, you know, he's a real popular web blogger, and I apologize if I do destroy the website's name, but it's Kottke.org, Kottke.org. He talks about some stats that he was reading on Technorati. I destroy that every time too. But anyway, he's talking about the top 100 most linked weblogs and how only 16 of those top 100 don't have any advertising. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm very proud that we have not had to go to any advertising. I think we thought about it at one time, and maybe we're going to run with it. But at this point, we're still going to stay advertise-free. But, you know, Dave Weiner over at Scripting News, Doc Searles, Jeffrey Zeldman, Robert Scoble, you know, Joy Ito, The Buzz Machine, The Vodka Pundit, all those guys are still, you know, they're running high-volume, very high-volume websites where, you know, they're getting thousands and thousands of hits a day, and they're running advertising free. And I think a lot of these guys realize that they in the long run are going to make more money through people coming to them because they are on the mainstream of web blogging. Now, this website, Gig News Central, hey, we are not a top 100 weblog. And you know, it would be great, but guess what? That's not where we're at right now. And you can only strive to do better. But was something that was very interesting about what he talked about in this article was about artificially popular blogs. And Jason basically said that, you know, there are, and he gave examples of like Mike's Little Journal, Geek Ramblings, and I'm not really familiar with that site, Penny Arcade, and some of the other ones. He's saying that they are being artificially inflated for different reasons. One, some of them are web designers, and they're, you know, of course, they have their, a lot of people have downloaded their skins and put their skins up on their site. and there's a link back, a default link back to their website, so they're getting incoming hits. And a different bunch of ways that people have artificially gotten to the top 100. You know, I don't think incoming links, I agree with Jason, I don't think incoming links are a good indication of a website's popularity. I know what our site does for traffic-wise. I know what it's done since day one. I watch the stats religiously, and I watch to see where we're growing. And, you know, sometimes I change genres a little bit, and I'll see the traffic go down. Hey, I'm watching what you guys are reading, and I'll be honest with you. There's some topics we've dropped because it just doesn't draw. And we're looking. There goes my cell phone. It's buzzing. I've got it on vibe. I do not want to talk to that person right now. So we'll put the phone down on the floor. And that brings it to another article. Let's see if I've still got it up here. I may have dropped it because of the problem we had earlier. But it talked about the Gilmore Gang had something on one of their audio casts. I believe it was today. It talked about how blog lines, Google, Yahoo, MSN, you know, they've got all these reference links back to our sites. And they've got user tracking information on who's coming to the site. Now, I'm watching who's coming in via my stats, but I can only imagine what Google or even Bloglines has. So there's a suggestion that they want, and I don't know if they're, because I didn't listen to the audio cast yet, and I forgive me, but I will. But what I got out of the article was it sounds like they're suggesting that companies start to providing us with that metadata back to the owners of the website, saying, "Hey, this is what we're seeing on our site." Now, maybe I put too much into stats and don't put enough into content, but you know, I'm always curious to see who's reading the site and where they're coming from, and it's just, you know, it's interesting. I guess maybe it's a curiosity type thing, and you know, what can I say? I'm a geek. My wife and I are, my wife's Japanese, and we travel a lot to Japan. She's actually originally from Okinawa. And before we got married, she had a JCB International credit card, which is basically the equivalent of Visa in the United States. If you're in Japan for any length of time, you're going to have a JCB credit card. And so when we got married, she put me on the account, and vice versa. I put her on mine, and she's got her own, blah, blah, blah. But they're getting ready to... You know, those of you that have traveled overseas, especially in Japan, and have done any business in Japan, you know, after business is done, you usually end up in a bar somewhere with the company that you're with, and they're either buying drinks, or you're buying drinks, or you're all buying drinks together, and you can get, Japanese know how to drink some alcohol. I'm going to tell you, you don't want to go beer for beer with these guys, because you're going to be getting carried out of the bar. But anyway, you know, many nights, you go in there and you spend a bunch of money and get out, and you're looking at your wallet at the end of the night, because bars in Japan do not use credit cards. That's taboo. You pay cash. There's no such thing as running a tab in Japan. But you get outside and you got to get a cab back to the hotel. You don't have no money left, buddy. You're hoofing it. Or you're hoping that, you know, if it's not too late, maybe get on a train, save a little bit. But generally, you're going to get in a cab. So they're going to launch a deal where you can use your credit card. Basically, you swipe it using some RFID technology. And, you know, I have a big problem with RFID. I think it's invasive. But for doing instant type payments and stuff like this, maybe I'd be tempted to use it. But those of you that have read the site for a while understand my feelings about RFID tags. And I really have issue with them. So... maybe we'll cover that in another podcast or another Geek News Central podcast in future days. Hey, I'm going to do a plug here for Firefox. And those of you that are using Firefox, they've had about 5 million downloads. And they're getting ready to do a big ad in the New York Times, and they need your support. So go over to spreadfirefox.com. They've got a link on the site where you can donate some money to contribute to help get this advertisement in the New York Times. I'm going to go out there and do an individual contribution. I'd encourage all of you to go out there and do an individual contribution and help Firefox out. You know, these guys, there's a lot of people developing this thing. They need our support. And if you like the browser, please get out there and help the Firefox team. I read a story, originally found it on TechDirt. It was talking about a gentleman, an Australian journalist, who was captured in Iraq. And he was let go after, excuse me, after his captors Googled him and determined that he wasn't a spy. Basically, they determined he wasn't working for the U.S. government or a contractor, and they, you know, they let him go. And obviously, if you're an American and you're in Iraq or a Middle Eastern country or anywhere and you get kidnapped, you don't even have to be in the Middle East. You can be in New York. You can be in Central Texas like I am, and someone nabs you, and they get down there and pull your ID information out and start Googling you. You know, what are they going to find? I know that when I Google my name, sometimes I'm kind of like, oh, my God, what's on here? You know, unfortunately, and I Google for stuff that's weird. I Google for my Social Security number. I Google for my telephone number. I do a lot of different things to kind of try to see if I can find any data about me that maybe shouldn't be out there. And it's amazing. And I know all of you have done the same thing, but just imagine if someone nabs you, the kind of information they got. You know, there might be the difference between them asking your family for, you know, let's say if you're worth $1 million, if you're worth $500, you know. It really could be that much of a difference. And these the military guys that are over in Iraq, if I was in country, I think I would be doing everything I could to get myself erased from the internet. But it's tough, you know, the go back machine, you know, it's almost impossible. Once you're been sucked up with Google or any of the other search engines, you know, you're in there for life. That's just, that's a basics about how this whole system works. There's a great Engadget article that was in an interview with Mike Ramsey, the CEO of TiVo. I've got the link up there. Those of you who are TiVo fans need to go there and read this article. You know, I do not own a TiVo. I have a DVR from Time Warner. I think the TiVo that I wrote about last night's on the weblog last night, that's got me really tempted to go buy it. But I'm going to have to talk to the wife. You know, you don't go up there and make those big purchases without getting the permission from the significant other. Because if you don't, I know a lot of you guys who went out and got some geek toys. You know, maybe bought a sound card here, audio card there. A video card. You know, tried to sneak one through. Oh, that doesn't work at my house. Absolutely not. You're married to a Japanese woman, they know what's going on with the finances. But that's one of those things I got to do. I got to go up there and talk to her about this, and we'll make a joint decision whether we're going to do it. But check that Engadget article out. Really good stuff. To go along with Engadget and TiVo, there's an article on Always On talks about the next big thing may be searchable TV. I don't know about you guys, but I kind of already got that at home. You know, with my TiVo, I can, with my DVR, I can search alphabetically. I can search via day. It's really not a big deal. But I tell you where I am irritated. I'm irritated when I travel. I spend on average about 200 days a year on the road, in hotels, in airports. You know, I travel a great deal. And I always fighting for connectivity. Always, you know, looking for Wi-Fi, you know, doing that typical geek battle. Luckily, it's become easier in the last couple of years, but hey, when I'm in a hotel, Monday through Friday, I'm working. You know, I'm not going out and clubbing. It's just, you know, I'm a little old for that now. Not that I don't go out and mind having a few beers with coworkers or going out and hanging out some nights. It's, you know, because when I'm home, it's, maybe I get a little extra chance that some of you don't to go out. But I'm taking care of family things when I'm home. And, of course, Geek News Central takes a lot of my time in doing these podcasts, etc. But when I'm watching TV in the hotel, I don't know what unless I keep that little card, and usually that thing ends up getting lost of the channel lineup. And I typically always forget what's supposed to be on TV that night. Like, I haven't seen any of the Survivor stuff since I've been on the road. But it seems when I'm home, I remember. It's maybe because I've got the DVR and I'm scrolling through what's getting recorded, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's on. I'm a big movie buff, so I like watching movies, and I don't watch too many sitcoms or 30-minute shows or anything like that, but I watch a few. But when I'm on the road, I think searchable TV would be great as an application on your desktop. They basically talk about Microsoft Windows Media Center 2005 and how it has the next generation TV. Well, I hate to say it, but I made my own media center. I used a laptop, some of the standard stuff that comes on the computer. Didn't have to really go to any extravagant effort, but sticking a Wi-Fi in the thing, Wi-Fi address, a Wi-Fi card in the laptop, mapping it to my drive where my music is, where my videos are, etc., where my family pictures are, and I can slideshow stuff to the TV. I can play music over the stereo. Play movies, etc. It's a great thing to do, wirelessly, as the server sets upstairs and at my office. Don't want to go up there and have to do that. Want to sit down in the comfort of my living room on my couch or my lazy boy and watch it down there. Now, the only thing I got to get for it is a wireless mouse, so I can sit in my lazy boy all laid back and scroll that mouse. But, I'm always going to need a pair of binoculars to read what's on the screen from that far away. But it's kind of cool, and those of you that have some extra hardware laying around or an older laptop. And this thing's old, man. It's an AMD K65, not a lot of guts to it. Sometimes, I have to wait 30 seconds for the disk cache to load the next program because it's slow, but it's a cheap deal and does the job. I think we have covered just about everything I wanted to talk about tonight, except there is... I talked about that already, so we're covered. Hey, we appreciate your comments about the show. I'll get the comments and the pings that were sent back to the weblog on the audiocast from the challenge last week. I'll get those on the next show. I'll apologize they weren't on tonight. And those of you that want to do a little content, hey, send me your content, and we'll incorporate it into our show. Call me on Skype, Geek News Central. That's the number you call on Skype. Leave a message or email me at geek@geeknewscentral.com. We'll talk about it. If you're hesitant to do it, we'll work out some details. We'll make sure you get you plugged. We'll get you linked up on the site. We'll make a big deal of it. We'll drive some traffic to you. So if you're up for it, hey, let's do it. And it gives us more power. The power... I am a single individual. This weblog concept was based upon many, many, many people, linking to each other. And if we can do the same concept by maybe sharing content on each other's sites with some audio content, or if you don't have the means to host the content yourself, hey, we'll do it. And I've got some bandwidth to spare. We'll try it as a trial. Keep those clips. Let's try to do 5 to 7, 5 to 10 minutes. And we'll see how this thing works. And don't forget me on this hijack thing I've got going on, this crack spider. And you guys know anything about that thing? Send me some info, send me some help. And I will say this, I've already done all the stuff that all the antivirus sites say and everything, and it's done no good. I haven't found any of that data in the registry or anything else. So maybe it's just a false positive. But until next time, this is Todd from Geek News Central. We're signing off. Hey, have a great evening. Thanks for tuning in.